Thornvale is a narrative-driven actual play podcast following three monster hunters as they fight to keep a small town in Florida safe from the creatures that threaten it. It's full of action.
I'll be like, I'll distract him, you get him. And so I'm going to try...
Okay, Bjorn, how are you going to get him? Comedy.
I just got this image in my head, now this is me, not Sammy, of this dragon that was collecting materials for a chicken farm.
And truly awful dice rolls.
Nope, another three. That's my second three in a row.
Oh my gosh.
If that sounds like it's up your alley, then look us up wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ed Dye Horror and Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Dye, and with me today is...
Jose.
And you are...
Guitars with Dissolent Theory.
Oh, okay then. Just that's all we're going to get? You don't sound too excited. Well, maybe you'll get excited once we get into the topic. But first, as you heard there, right before we started the show, there was an ad for a new podcast coming out called Thornvale. Go check them out. So if you guys are listening to podcasts, just look for them up on there. They're going to be playing a game, so you might get some monsters and stuff. Maybe they'll get freaky, but most of the time, I think it's going to be more adventure and funny, though. So check out Thornvale when you get a chance. Also, while you're out there on the world checking things out, make sure you go out of your way and check us out on our social media. That's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, come on, you know all the stuff. And if you enjoy what we're doing, you can always support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/isedidead. Now, I left the news kind of empty because I wanted to just get to this and... It's a lot, I guess, to say. On April 18th, 2019, famed author and paranormal investigator Lorraine Warren passed away at the age of 92. It was posted on Facebook by her son-in-law and grandson that she passed away on Thursday night in her sleep in her Connecticut home. She, along with her late husband, Ed, founded the New England Society for Paranormal Research in Monroe, Connecticut in 1952 to investigate suspected hauntings. Now, I'm sure you know some of the famous cases.
I do. And the movies, some of the books.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few books. I think there's more books than movies. As of now, some of their famous cases that most people would recognize as of now would be the Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Annabelle the Doll, which the movies that came out aren't really so much based on the case, just kind of based on the doll. I think, what was it? It's The Conjuring 1?
That introduced Annabelle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It introduced her, but that's the only one that kind of stayed true to the actual story.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah, they Hollywoodized it. Then there's also the Enfield Poltergeist, which most people wouldn't probably don't know it by name. But most of the people out there know it as The Conjuring Part 2. And the latter two have been turned into films in recent years, like I just said before. You can read more about her and her husband's investigations on their Wikipedia page. Or if you can get the books, as they have quite a few of them, they do talk about different cases with ghosts, demons, and a werewolf.
Werewolf. I think that's The Conjuring 3. I think that's what that's based on.
Yeah, I think Conjuring 3 is supposed to be loose, is basically going off of that.
There's murder, there's possession.
There's police getting the shit scared out of them. There's all kinds of good fun stuff going on. After her death, lots of people were tweeting, but two of the people that I guess more of the mainstream media would know about would be Vera Farmiga. Is that how you say the girl's name?
I don't know.
She's the one that actually played Lorraine in the Conjuring films. And she tweeted from her Twitter account, at Vera Farmiga. Hey, that's easy. And just her real name. And she tweeted, quote, "My dear friend Lorraine Warren has passed. From a deep feeling of sorrow, a deep feeling of gratitude emerges. I was so blessed to have known her and am honored to portray her. She lived her life in grace and cheerfulness. She wore a helmet of salvation. She donned her sword, compassion, and took a shield of faith. Righteous was her breastplate and she has touched my life so. Love you, Lorraine. You're waltzing with Ed now. Now, ain't that special? Ain't that sweet? Ain't that nice? Patrick Wilson, who portrayed her husband, Ed, tweeted, and from his Twitter account, PatrickWilson73, he said, "The heavens will surely burn a little brighter tonight. We lost a friend and inspiration. I will miss the stories, the laughter, and the guidance. Rest in peace, sweet Lorraine. Tell Ed I said hello." Ah, that's much better. Her death caused so much traffic. Now, this is interesting. Her death caused so much traffic to their website, which is www.warrens.net, that apparently it must have exceeded the bandwidth, which basically means there was too much traffic, too many visitors, because even when I tried to go to it, I couldn't get to it. It literally said, this website has exceeded its bandwidth. Well, it's a new month now, so hopefully maybe you guys can get onto the site and see what's going on. I'll have the links below for the Ed and Lorraine's Wikipedia page along with their official website. You guys can check that out there. For those who you want to see the movies based on their cases they were involved with, here is a list. There's The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2, Annabelle, The Amityville Horror from 1979, A Haunting in Connecticut, The Enfield Haunting, which was a BBC miniseries from 2015, and one movie that most people don't seem to remember very often called The Haunted from 1991. So if you guys get a chance, definitely check out those films. And the other bit of news that I actually wanted to get to, because trust me, the main topic this time around is a doozy. But the other bit of news was that it seems that a team from Yale University were able to revive part of a recently dead pig's brain. Now, while they say it's not large functions there was a surprising amount of cellular function. While it's not like the important parts, there was brain activity afterwards that they were able to revive. But nothing particularly large was preserved or restored. People on social media are going around saying, this is how it starts. And you know what we're talking about. Next thing we know, we'll be officially, they'll be making some kind of serum, and they'll be officially calling that pig serum trioxin 243 before they get to 245, when we're all truly screwed. But hopefully it's just on the pigs, and then next time you guys have a hot dog or bacon, just watch out, because it might squeal back at you or bite back. Now, on to the bit of news. Well, not news, our main story. And this is a doozy, and quite it gets quite nasty at some parts. And I don't mean nasty as in naughty, because it does do that. But I'm talking about like straight up filthy, disgusting.
I like it already.
The Count and the Corpse is a creepy true story that comes from the Key West area of Florida. Before we get to the macabre part of the story, we need to go back and do some history on who the Count is. Carl Tanzler was a German-born immigrant who emigrated to Key West in the 1920s. Apparently, the man was born George Carl Tanzler, but in the U.S. papers read just Carl Tanzler von Kosel, yet his death certificate from Florida had just Carl Tanzler on it. Oddly enough, his hospital records show Count Carl Tanzler von Kosel. The man had some weird stuff going on, because some of the Carls are spelled with a C, sometimes with a K. The man claimed to have 9 different degrees and was working as a medical technician, having said he studied in Germany at the University of Dresden, which later was found not to be true. He also claimed to be a count, and said that during his childhood, he was visited by his ancestor, Countess Anna Constantia von Kosel. And not only did she visit and say, yo, what's up? She actually told him that who his true love was, as she showed him a face, which was that of an exotic, dark-haired woman. Interesting. So right off the bat, this guy doesn't sound like he's playing with a full deck, or it sounds like he's playing with someone else's deck, because not everything is like matching up so far. Already we have a fishy guy from Germany who's making shit up and changing names. So We jump years later. Now I'm talking about years later. Carl, the Count, Carl, is now 52 years old and living in Key West, working in a hospital. This is where he met the young, beautiful, and I'm going to say this name in the most Spanish way I can, Maria Elena Milagro de las Hoyas. And for you Americans, that's...
Smith.
There you go. Elena was the daughter of a local cigar maker who had two sisters, and who pretty much most of the family was eventually afflicted with tuberculosis. Almost every member seems to have died from TB. Which is funny enough because I just got a tuberculosis test earlier today, and we'll find out if I got a touch of the consumption on Friday.
That's funny.
Why?
9 years ago last week, I got mine.
9 years ago?
It came up on Facebook.
Oh, I was about to say, who the fuck remembers something specific from 10 years, but not nine. Well, Elena herself ended up also catching it eventually before most of her family. So she ended up with tuberculosis, and this is what led her to meet the Count at the hospital. At the time, tuberculosis was a fatal disease, so her being diagnosed was more or less a death sentence. So there's not much they could do. It was just kind of deal with it as you got it, and then just hopefully your lungs don't fall out very quickly. The Count met her and fell madly in love with her, which apparently... She had a reputation for being a good-looking woman in the area. Apparently, she used to walk around town with a red flower in her hair. Ooh. And people would often stop to take pictures of her. And take pictures with her, like if she was someone famous. Just because she was so beautiful. She was exotic. She was
a hottie.
She was a hot period piece of, I'd just say, ass. Well, the man fell for ass and all. And, he wanted to get with that booty. Well, he fell with her, and apparently she resembled the image that his ancestors showed him was going to be his true love. So that kind of to him is like, oh, that's my bitch right there. This who I'm meant to be with. I don't give a damn who gets in my way. I'm going to be with her no matter what. So having fallen for her, Tanzler used all his supposed, and I say supposed, medical knowledge to find a cure. He came to her home with multitudes of medicines and even x-ray equipment to help her, because we all know somehow x-ray, you know, back in the day, I guess, was
in a briefcase.
Yeah, it was a miracle thing, you know. Science. Well, he convinced the family to let him do this and that to her, because he was determined to save her, because in his head, this is my one true love.
It's a lot of probing.
Yeah, there definitely was probably a lot of probing, sticking, penetration, looking at her lungs, breathing.
Maybe some sex.
We'll get to that, because that's going to be interesting here.
What stuff?
Along with trying to cure her, he also brought her gifts and professed his love to her and showered her with all kinds of gifts to win her affections.
She diabetic?
No, but...
Chocolates?
I hope not. No, well... I don't know. I mean, Key West, is it a big chocolate place? No, they're more known, I guess. Well, she was a daughter of a guy who made cigars. But, well, he tried his best to show how much he loved her and this and that. Well, according to Wikipedia, no evidence has surfaced to show that any of his affections were reciprocated by her. So, in other words, he loved her, and we ain't got no damn clue how she felt about him, literally. There's no notebooks, no nothing written saying that she was like, oh, I would do him, but he's just too old. Or like, damn, he had the biggest dick I seen and he kept me pleasured along with trying to keep me alive. We just don't know what
her. Facebook wasn't around back then to make it official.
Yeah, you know, she wasn't posting on Facebook, had another TB test, haha, love my doctor. None of that shit. Hashtag don't kill me. She could have loved him for all we know, or she could have been repulsed by him only, and she might have only been putting up with him since he was determined to save her. So we don't really know. I believe there is no notebook or diary to speak of. So there's no Anne Frank after the fact situation going on here. Well, unfortunately, all his attempts didn't work, and Elena died on October 25th, 1931, at the age of 22. Remember, I said he's 52. She's 22. This is 30 years difference in age. Well, the Count was so in love with her, he actually convinced the family to let him pay for her funeral, and he built an above-ground mausoleum to which only he had the key for.
It's creepy.
Is anyone questioning this? I mean, seriously. Oh, no, no, no. I'll pay for this. I got this. And we'll put her in here, and only I got the key. So fuck y'all. Only I can visit. And there he goes driving. I'm sure you hear that. There he goes driving away to go visit the bitch.
That wasn't a fart.
Well, for someone who has the key, his ass visit her grave every night. It said that he started
every
to hear
voices.
Every
damn night?
Every damn night he kept going back. And who's going to stop him? They can't lock him out. He's the one with the key. He paid for it. This is my house. You can't keep me out. Well, after visiting her night after night after night, it must have started to enter because it said that he started to hear her voice calling for him to free her from her, quote, stone prison. In fact, according to him, she would appear to him and sing a song called La Boda Negra, which means the Black Wedding.
It's not by Billy Idol.
Yeah, it's not White Wedding because, well, I don't know. Maybe she could be buried as a virgin. We don't know. He never touched her, but that don't mean she was never touched by man. Well, the Black Wedding song is a song about a lover who digs out his deceased wife and takes her home and then commits suicide to join her. Well, the Count eventually, after all the singing she did nightly to him, he gave in. And then one night in 1933, showed up at the cemetery with a wagon and took her body home. Yes. What year did she die? 1931. When did he take her ass home? 1933. 2 years later. All right. The 2 years of a decomposition of her body when he came to her, you got to keep that in mind. If you thought he was obsessed before, it gets worse from here. So the bitch laid in this, and no disrespect to Miss Elena, but the bitch laid in the mausoleum, an above ground one, so it's not like she was underground where it's super cold, above ground where the humidity was obviously getting to her for 2 years before his raggedy ass took her home. Now, what did he do when he got her home? He didn't make soup. Well, apparently he had built himself a makeshift medical lab inside of a repurposed airplane fuselage. And in his lab, he used everything he could essentially to rebuild and maintain Elena's body.
Bionic now, woman.
What's that?
Like the bionic woman?
No, that would have been way better. She probably would have could have deserved that. Oh my God. Let's say if the Bionic Woman was you buying from Saks Fifth Avenue, some high end retail place, and he dollar stored this bitch, okay? He restored this at below dollar store level. To keep her body form so she wasn't all caved in, he stuffed her with rags and used piano wire and wire hangers to keep her shape intact. He put glass eyes in and patched all her rotted flesh with silk, wax, and plaster. He basically turned into like a giant doll almost. And a dead body that's been rotting is going to be a stanky body. So he used perfumes, flowers, and other types of things to keep the smell of her putrefied flesh at bay. This is love. It's one thing to put up with your lover's farts. It's another thing to put up with your lover's stank ass body falling apart. This is rot. If you've ever smelled rot, that's just an audio attempt of what rot smells like. He continuously used mortician's wax on her face to keep her looking alive. Now, mortician's wax is what they use usually. Not so much more as times advance, but that's what they would use when
filler. Your,
what's that? Filler. If your face was caved in or crushed, they would use that if they could recreate it.
It's like Bondo for cars.
Yeah, he bonded the bitch's face together. But you got to remember, 2 years, he had parts of her skin were just already gone. In fact, this part, I remember reading in here somewhere that some parts of her skin, he just had to leave how it was because if he tried to peel the clothing back, the skin came off. So he had to just soak and figure out ways to maintain this bitch and not fall apart on her, on him. And for her head, where some of the flesh had rotted away, he covered up her head with a wig made out of her own hair. When the fuck do you get enough hair to make a wig out of a bitch's hair? Simple. Her mother collected it and gave it to him at the funeral. So even the mom kind of knew this bastard was crazy.
But she gave it to him.
Yeah, she gave it to him. They. I mean, at this point, I guess they were like, listen, she's dead. If we just give him shit, maybe he'll just leave us the fuck alone and move on. She gone. So, I mean, party's over. Well, word has it that he even planned to build a ship. Now, this is where it gets crazy. He never got to this level, but that's only because I think shit happened. But he was planning to build a ship to fly her body, this bitch's carcass, into the stratosphere where he believed the radiation could penetrate her and restore her.
Wait.
Yes. He was planning on Frankensteining this bitch.
Fly her on a ship?
Yes. Well, not a ship, like an airplane.
Oh.
Now, man, what are you thinking? Like a pirate ship?
Titanic or something.
Oh, my God. No. Like a spaceship. He wanted to take her up to the stratosphere where her body would get hit with like gamma radiations. I don't think he expected the bitch to turn green. She probably was green already. But he thought that it would bring her body back to normal and possibly wake her ass up.
Should have waited 38 more years.
Yeah, pretty much. So having rebuilt her, he laid her in his bed and kept her there. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to build the ship, but he did get to piece her back together. Took her to the bedroom and laid her in the bed and kept her there for the next goddamn 7 years. 7 years.
Good luck.
7 years of stank rot. Oh, I'll just sprinkle little perfume on that shit.
Summer's Eve. Put a little vinaigrette.
Poor vinaigrette. Little. No, I need a whole like two bottles and it's not just going up the... Yeah, I put it all over the bitch. Interesting enough, in his memoirs, the Count said that he would sit and read to her and have conversations. Now, according to him, they actually were two-way conversations because he said that she would respond. In fact, he said she even came back to life for a short time and she even attempted to get up, to which he told her not to. Baby, you've been dead for quite a while. Don't get up. Your body's not ready yet. Crazy. I mean, I can understand him saying that if he flew the bitch up and she got radiation, but he never got to that. So having conversations, reading with this bitch and talking with his dead body for 7 years, ugh. During those 7 years, he pretty much became a recluse and the people of the town started to talk about him. They would speak of the man who would buy women's clothes and perfume all the time. Now, you got to remember, this is back in the day, so no one exactly is thinking he might have been a drag queen or anything. They're just like, oh, he funny. Hey, there goes that old man that stays in his house and buys women shit. He funny.
In the stinky house.
Yeah, in the stinky house. Well, his house became kind of famous during that time, too, because rumors began saying that Elena was no longer in her mausoleum. But no one could prove it since he's the only one with the key. And then there was a case where a local boy, now this is where it really started everything. There was a case where a local boy said he witnessed the Count dancing with a giant doll. He saw him through the window. Okay. Well, when word of this got to Elena's sister, she went to the Count and demanded to see her body in the mausoleum because she didn't think the body was going to be there. She kept bugging and bugging. I want to see the body. Wait. Well, no, wait. They're from Key West. I want to see the body. Okay.
Rosie Perez?
I know. That's in my head, that's what I'm imagining. I want to see the body, okay? That's my sister. That's my sister. You dogging my sister. I know. I want to see her body. I want to get that ring that bitch on me. Well, the Count gave in. After her bugging and bugging, the Count gave in. But he didn't say, fine, I'll take you to the mausoleum. He said, fine, I'll take you to where Elena really is. And he took her to his house. Now, at the house, what she found was gruesome. And that was some straight gruesome truth. So after 7 years of living with her body, the authorities came to his house after his sister's discovery. The count was arrested and her body was taken away for examination. An autopsy is where they discovered how he kept her form, you know, all the nasty shit he was doing, and all the tools that he used on her. They also discovered a tube stuffed between her legs that he used to form a makeshift vagina.
He was fucking her.
A paper tube. Oh my God. I guess he had another tool he was sticking in there too, not just the ones to keep her shape. Ah, you get it? Well, he never admitted to it, but it was found that indeed he had been having sex with the corpse. But this comes up later, trust me. Oh my God. So 7 years of rotten stank and sticking his dick in the rotten stank, if you know what I'm saying. Well, the count was charged with grave robbing and more. But guess what the problem was?
His grave?
What's that?
He was the owner of the property, the grave?
Well, yeah, he's the owner of the grave, so you can't charge him with that. But he took the body. Here's the problem. Happened 7 years ago, so they can't charge him on because statute of limitations ran out. So all the freaky shit he was doing, they couldn't necessarily charge him with because they don't know that. All they could go with is grave robbing and a couple other things, which they couldn't even get to. Apparently, they even say that during his whole trial, like the public, he actually got sympathy from the public and compassion from people during his trial because they said they just saw him as a hopeless romantic. Oh, he just can't let her go. No, he loves her. That is so I wish my man would dig my rotted corpse up and fuck me for 7 years as I rot in his bed. In that sweet? In that
nice? These people are stupid.
In that nice? In that better? Why are you going to leave my body rotting in the ground? Come on, put me in the bed and fuck me a couple of times while my titties fall off. Ain't that better? Jesus Christ. Well, as far as being charged for necrophilia, here's the deal. It wasn't until 1972 that they actually found real proof that he had been having sex with the body. But by then, even the statute of limitation of that had passed. But by then, the count was dead, I think, anyway. In 1941, the count moved away from Key West. And they say just 2 hours after having left Key West, there was an explosion in the cemetery. Turns out the mausoleum that he paid for had been blown up. And some think that it's the count's way of saying that he didn't desecrate her tomb. And if you want real desecration, I'll desecrate that shit. Bang!
Five bitches.
Like a fuck you to Key West. You're going to say I did something nasty? I'll do something nasty. Well, sadly, after all the horror that Elena's body had gone through, it wasn't over yet. And it wasn't even him anymore. Instead of just laying her to rest, instead of just, oh, okay, he did all this shit to her, let's just let the family and everyone relax. Let's just have everything calm down and be okay. No. What happened? Instead, they put her ass on display. Like, they put her ass in public, like a public area, so she could be seen. Nearly 8,000 people came to see her. She became a public spectacle in Key West. This is what the court and the cops decided to do with the bitch's body. Now, where they point out, like, look, if you see her face, you can see where he tried to make her look the same. If you look between her legs, you can see her nasty chucha just dripping.
Is it on display at the museum or anything?
No, I think they, actually, I think it was in a funeral home, they said. They just had it displayed, and you can just come by and see her. In one of the documentaries that I even saw about her, one guy remembers him being a kid and going through there, and him and his...
School trip.
I wouldn't be surprised, because he said him and his younger sister, and he said he was already young to begin with, saw the body and weren't having freaking nightmares about it for days. She was eventually laid to rest in an unmarked grave in the cemetery that she was originally in to begin with. This was done so that the public wouldn't go looking for her or find her, but more so...
The count
would not find her. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 years I fucked the corpse. Put that shit on Sesame Street, see what happens. Well, The Count himself went on to live out the rest of his life alone and died in 1952. His body was found 3 weeks after having died. So, hey, he got to rot in the middle of nowhere, kind of like she did. That's nice. But nobody was there to mess with his corpse for 3 weeks, so not like there was sweet revenge there or anything. It seems his obsession with her never faded. In his later years, he was supposedly supported by his estranged wife, but he still wanted and thought about Elena. At some point, while he had her body, he made a death mask of her. So he doesn't have the original body anymore, but with the death mask, in later years, he used the death mask to create a whole new effigy, a whole new body for Elena, which he then lived with, much like he did with her original corpse. And some rumors spread that when his body was found, that he was found in the arms of the recreation of Elena. But that sounds like bull to me, quite honestly. Another was that somehow he was able to get her original body back to him and switched it for the fake one that he had created. No word on how he would have done this, but like I said, these are rumors that spread out. But it said that he was actually found dead on the floor behind one of his organs, the instrument, not his guts. And that is the dirty, nasty case of the Count and the corpse. Do you think love is forever? Because even Dracula wouldn't fuck a dead body. I mean, even Dracula, fine. His whole original story is a love story, but you know, he gave her eternal life, not just. I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, seriously, just nasty. And the interesting part of the makeshift vagina was it was a paper tube, so there must have been lots of chafing and burning. And especially after you
paper cuts,
her juices, his juices dripping. Oh, it's like a porno you don't want to know about. If you guys like this story and want to hear more nasty shit like this, or if you do have other ghost stories or horror stuff you want to hear about, let me know. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at Ed Dye Podcast, or hit me up specifically on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Is Ed Dye Dead, or go to the official website, isediedead.com. Jose, you can always check him out at disciplinetheory.com, who you guys are in the middle of recording.
Two cover songs for a compilation CD coming out in a couple of months. Classics versus Classics at Freedom Sound Studios.
Freedom Soundworks Studios.
Soundworks Studios.
Yes. And you guys can find the band Discipline Theory at Facebook, Instagram, pretty much everything. Just look up Discipline Theory, because I don't think anyone else uses it. And if they do, somebody's stealing something. Well, guys, that's it for us from now. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah.
Why?
What's his name? Zach Baggins?
Yeah?
Yeah, he bought some chair that was... Lorraine Warren was involved with some exorcism possession, which is the story for Conjuring 3.
And he just recently acquired it?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Is there pictures or anything of him with it or no?
Not yet. More news to follow soon.
Ah, so he got people keep an eye out for Zach Baggins and his haunted rocking chair, pretty much.
It's going to be at the museum in Vegas.
So if you're in Vegas... go say hello. Tell them Ed I sent you. Until then, keep it spooky.
Peace out.